B-Pod Studios.
Okay, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We got so much to cover this morning. Mr. Everything himself, Bob Ryan, is on the air with us. Good morning, Bobby. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm very good. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Before we do anything else, I mean, we got Bruins, Celtics, Sox, and all that, but we got to talk a little bit about John Havlicek, because that was one of the things you wrote about on Sunday in the Globe. So, tell us about your thoughts about John Havlicek.
Well, this was a very personal loss as well as a professional loss, because when I started covering the Celtics back in 1969, I needed a lot of guidance about what the NBA was all about, and I needed to learn how to cover a team. I knew how to write some basketball, but the dynamics of covering a team, there's no manual for that. Well, one of the person who made it really, really pleasurable as much or more than anyone else was John Havlicek. Now, he's at the prime in his career. He's a superstar. He couldn't have been nicer and more gracious. And then I observed him over the years, and that's the way he was with everybody. I mean, he was the same with a college kid with a credential, nervously coming up to him, or as he was with Frank DeFord from Sports Illustrated. He was just a gracious human being. And then we could talk about the playing all day long, but the thing most resonated with, and you saw all the tributes. I'll just sum it up with this. I really believe this. No one can prove it, but I maintain this. I think that during his prime, he was the most respected athlete in all professional sport by other athletes, by other sports.
That's pretty high praise.
He was a symbol of how you're supposed to be, and that's a great legacy.
Fantastic. Well, it's too bad. I mean, yeah. What a great guy. Well, let's start talking about the Bruins, because we got this coming up tonight. So, what are you feeling right now? How do you feel?
I'm feeling nervous because, first of all, you have to understand. I hope people didn't think, well, Tampa Bay's not here. The team that beat Tampa Bay is good. Yeah. That was Columbus, and not only did they beat them, but they strangled them. They embarrassed Tampa Bay. They figured themselves out in the second, about the last third of the season, and they also had made two pickups during the trading deadline that it took a while for them to pay dividends. And that was Matt Duchene and Panarin, and now you can see that you don't want every time the Panarin gets a puck on his stick, you start worrying. They're good, and what is always the story with hockey in playoffs? You get the hottest goalie, you got a chance to go all. Bobrovsky is playing, at the highest possible level. He's, it's like Tim Thomas in 2011, the good goalie who's actually playing better than he ever played in his life.
Hey Bob, do you think Berge and Pasta might be a little banged up a little bit? They haven't been playing up.
No, they haven't. That's always a possible guess, and you're not going to get the answer on that. Well, we know this; they need to get going. It's very nice that the bottom six guys are contributing, thank God. But let's face it, that first line's got to get going. The top two, six have to get going. I don't know if there are injuries or not. God knows, you're never going to find out. They need it. They can't go far without those guys being productive.
All right, can we talk Celtics, Bob?
Sure.
Because you kind of figured that the Bucks would come back in Game 2.
Yeah, I kind of saw that one coming.
You know, they've been hot all year, but we need Kyrie to be Kyrie. And what's up with Jason Tatum?
That's a question that I've posed several times during this year. He's not building on. He did not build on this great ending of his rookie year to be the executive player that we thought he was. I don't know what the thing was. Whether he's never. The whole Hayward coming in. I really don't know. I know that the talent's there, and I'm not worried about him in the long run. But it would be nice to get him back where he was a year ago at this time. Right now, as far as the juxtaposition of games 1 and 2, this is an eternal story in the NBA. We've seen it before. The Celtics have been on both sides of this before. Nothing new in history. You can't get smug after a big win. You can't get down after a big loss. Mm-hmm. It's a series. That's why they call it a series. It's 7 games. It's not like football. It's not one game. It's 7 games. Each team has to make adjustments. One other thing about it, Doc Rivers, I don't know who said it first, but he has really seized upon this idea. He called it a make-miss league. You got to make shots, ultimately. And the Celtics, obviously, when you're getting scored second half, were terrible. When you got scored 28-2, you're not making any shots.
Wow.
So I still feel good about him. I love the way they ended the season. I love the first game. They're going to be. I think they'll be okay. I still think it's going to be a 6 or 7 game series, and they have a chance.
Okay. Red Sox are clawing their way back three games under 500 now. What are you feeling now?
Well, I'm feeling obviously much better. The big thing in the beginning was that starting pitching was atrocious. It was atrocious the first 3 weeks. They had ERA collectively in the staff of over 7, almost 8. And now you can see that they're getting consistently better starting pitching. Now, yesterday was an exception to the whole thing because starting pitching went 2 innings. They went into that opener thing. I didn't know if that was intentional or not. But the good news is that the relievers all, except for Thornburg, all pitched great. But they're pitching better, and let's hope that Price can keep it going now. But also Mookie. Mookie Betts is back being the MVP. He didn't hit any hits yesterday, but going into yesterday, he had multiple hits in 7 games, but he was on base 2 more times. I would say his on-base percentage in the last 8 games is closer to 60%. And if he plays like this, they're going to be fine. In the long run, they dug a big hole, but it's not inconceivable they can dig themselves out. Also, a big day yesterday. Tampa Bay lost twice, and the Yankees lost. And you got to start thinking in those terms. You got to catch up to those teams.
Well, I think it's good that Alex Cora is not letting him play Fortnite in the dugout. In the clubhouse.
Okay.
I think that's good.
Got to work it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And you have any shameless plugs for us today?
The Sports Reporters podcast with Mike Lupica and myself is up and running. And quite frankly, I think we hit the ball out of the park yesterday. So check it out.
Bada boom.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.